The University Tower chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. To my right, from the Department of Biology, it's Professor Stephanie Conant.
Hello. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you, too. You know, there was something on the internet a number of months ago when we got to 2015 that said this year it's relatively rare, but you can have three Friday the 13th. So 2013 is three Friday the 13th. And the popular logic of it having something to do with a slaughter of knights and monks and priests in the Catholic Church was simply because of the Da Vinci Code book. And that's not that old. So it kind of made me really depressed. Like, a lot of people will tell you, oh, that's why Friday the 13th is bad. Well, that was made up for a movie and a book, you know?
Thanks, Dan Brown.
Thank you. Even though I really enjoyed reading that book and watching that movie, it still is kind of weird. Professor Jacob Kagi is with us here again as a guest panelist from biology.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming back. I know it was a long wait.
Yeah.
So we're doing a lot of advising this week, Professor Kagi. I know you have. Any proper for primetime stories from advising that you can tell us?
No, it was a fairly uneventful advising week,
as much as that
can go with that many kids going through in 3-4 days.
It's like a revolving door for about 5 days, right?
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Professor Kendra Evans from Chemistry and Biochemistry has been doing some advising this week. Probably has more to do next week.
No, I think that I got it mostly done this week.
Oh, very good.
Yeah,
a little bit
last week or 2 weeks ago before spring break. Yeah.
Excellent. Okay. And everything went well?
That's what I'm going to say right now.
Define well.
I have some concerns.
Of course. Well, there's always concerns. There's always concerns, especially when Sister Bridget sends you the email before the student does.
Oh, that's right.
Then I know that things are not going to be good when the student walks in. Also, when I say this number of weeks after break, did you look at your midterms yet? Nah. Okay, here we go. Let's look at them together.
Yes.
Professor Dan Maggio is here from the FIRST organization.
Hi, Matt.
How are you doing?
Good. I'm actually pretty good.
You're at the level of jacket and sweater. I'm very proud of you. It's very warm outside.
Yes.
So no winter coat, right?
My windbreaker.
Windbreaker, yeah. Exactly.
And I'm still layered, so
okay.
I can cool off or warm up at any time.
I was thinking about layers the other day because I got some tickets to the Yankees series, second week of April, and
wow.
That's going to be cold. And everybody's making fun of me. I'm like, I have long underwear. They sell hot chocolate. I'll be good.
April?
It's going to be fine.
That's not so bad.
No, I'm not going to opening day. I wish I was going to opening day, but I'll watch on TV and we'll cook hot dogs in the lobby of the Chem building and stuff like that.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, stop by, please. The question is whether IT is going to get the TVs working or not. Otherwise, we'll be gathered around the radio. Like I know Professor Dave Chow likes to do from
days.
The College
of
Career Studies.
Pleasure to be here, as always. No, we'll probably, I don't know, I think we can stream it in.
Yeah.
You know, we'll put it on the big screen and watch it that
nice.
Way.
Yeah. Nice, very nice.
It's always festive downtown.
Absolutely. Now, have you been before?
What, opening day?
Opening day.
No, I have not. I've just been around.
Okay.
It's easier. It's much more fun partying on the streets and hanging out that way.
It's true. That is very much true. Folks, this is a program where you can send us questions regarding anything. If you stump our panel, you win one of our prizes. And if you don't stump the panel, you win one of our prizes. You can send the questions to us in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. You can reach us on the web at udmercy.edu/atp. You can tweet at us using the handle @AskTheProfUDM or #AskTheProfUDM on Twitter or find us on the Facebooks. We have a set of questions that were sent to us, even though Professor Roach isn't here, from one of his students, Zahid Muhammad. And we love people who send in questions. Let's see. Okay, oh, we had left it with, what country is Timbuktu in?
Nepal?
Nope.
No, it's in Africa.
It is in Africa.
Like, Morocco?
Mm-hmm. Not Morocco, but same first letter.
Mozambique. No.
Nope.
Well, that was a good guess.
Oh,
nope.
Malawi?
But you're really close by pronunciation. It could also be viewed as an Irish female's first name, but only by speaking. Does that make sense?
Nope. Irish?
Not at all.
Nope. What?
I'll try it.
We're better scratching at the M letters.
Africa,
yeah,
did you already say Morocco? Did somebody say Morocco?
I said Morocco.
Yeah, it's not Morocco. It's not Malawi.
Monaco?
It's not Monaco.
No, it's not Monaco.
It's not Morocco.
Oh.
We need more world maps in this studio.
It doesn't matter. They change so often. Yeah. You
it's
never
true.
Know.
It's true. It's in Mali. So that's what I was looking for. Also a Irish female first name.
Boo-hoo for us on geography.
How much does a mail order bride cost?
From where?
Yeah.
Well, you know, it doesn't say it, but it says there's an average overall going rate, according to the Mail Order Bride Association. It is quite a bit lower than that.
$8,000. $4,000.
It's a little bit lower than that. It's $5,000.
The U.S. or Canadian?
Oh. Yeah, I think it's U.S. Well,
it's
we're
the
close
Euro.
Right now.
The
Euro. Right now. You know, we could have asked that question is Jerry Albright, who has been solicited by many.
Female,
one of the Jesuits here on campus. And he dropped the picture of the girl in front of our previous president, Father Jerry Stockhausen, and said, "What do you think? Do I have a chance?"
Well, I should tell. Well, I probably shouldn't tell this, but we were talking about for public safety, if we had an issue in our office and we were going to call down to the front office, could we have like a code word or something that if we say to Mrs. Jackman, "This is happening," she will know to call public safety. And the code word was that woman's name, which I can't remember her name now, but it would be like, "So Mrs. Jackman is so-and-so in the office," and that would mean to call public safety.
Oh, is it like one of those hospital things?
It was like
Dr. Brown or Dr. Red or something like that.
Is she Russian?
Yeah. So it was, or...
Was she Ukrainian?
Yeah, she was Russian or Ukrainian. Yeah.
Or,
so,
or probably Filipino.
No, it was Russian or Ukrainian.
They, don't a lot of Anastasia male brides come from?
It was Anastasia, yes. So Anastasia was the code word.
Oh, that's my wife, too. Oh,
okay.
Yeah. Really?
Well, that's your code word, too?
No, that's his wife. So, yeah.
Not
so,
really.
Thank God he got solicited, because she's been very useful.
She's been very useful. Thanks.
Watch. One of these days you'll get one of those kids with that name in your class, and then you'll never look at her the same again.
I know a few Anastasias.
Yeah.
Are they mail order brides?
One's two, so not yet.
Not yet.
If you tied buttered toast to the back of a cat and dropped it from 3 feet, what would happen?
I'd laugh.
You'd make a mess?
Probably. Yeah. There's going to be some scratching going on, too.
Yeah, probably.
That's a pretty good idea.
That's assuming you can get the toast on the back of a cat.
I believe this is a facetious question.
Yes, it is.
Because we expect cats to land on their feet and buttered toast always to land down. Who knows who would win? Someone needs to do that for the...
You didn't say it was butter side up.
Oh, well, you know, that's... it's not a cat sandwich. Could be. Could be.
They're delicious. Oh, I'm kidding.
Oh, my word.
Delicacy.
What beer is marketed as, with the tagline, the king of beers?
Budweiser.
Budweiser, that is correct.
As opposed to the champagne of beers?
Well, that's the high life. Yes, exactly.
And that actor passed away just recently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the spokesman for champagne of beers.
Miller, the Miller High
just
Life.
Like yesterday, the day before.
Yeah,
right.
Uh-huh,
Wow.
He was only 36.
Ghost Adventures here.
Prophetic.
I don't know what's going on.
Ooh.
Yeah, I know. That's freaking me out.
Did you drink too much beer?
No.
I don't know.
He was living the high life.
Did he drink too much bad beer? Because maybe that's something.
The skunky beer.
What is the name given to a female swan?
Swanee?
Swanette.
I knew somebody was going to say that.
Swanette.
No,
it's female swan.
Shoot,
I should know this.
Not like a coot or something like that. I can't remember.
A coot?
I used to know this.
Female swan as crazy old man.
It's a...
The thing that it makes me think of is last year, I took a picture of this. I probably still have it on my phone, where my son played his Little League, was close enough to the Detroit Zoo to have a game delayed by a peacock taking the field and being very aggressive and not leaving the field.
Yeah.
But it was actually kind of dull-colored and gray. And my son is in the dugout screaming, "It's a peahen! It's a peahen!" Like, I don't think anybody cares, Joe.
So it's a hen?
It is not a hen. It's actually a pen is what a female swan is called.
Oh.
A hen?
Yes, a pen.
Really? You mean like
the
Sharpie?
Males are known as pencils. No, I don't know. I have no idea.
They just were too lazy to say peahen.
No, is it?
Is it a cob? You got coot, you got cob. You're all over the map. Ciao.
I'm useless today.
Name the front man of the Kaiser Chiefs who replaced Danny O'Donohue as judge and mentor on The Voice UK. Doesn't anybody watch BBC America anymore?
not in our neighborhood. They got rid of it.
I know. That's right. That's right.
It was too expensive.
Mm-hmm. The Kaiser Chiefs, anybody?
No.
Who are the Kaiser Chiefs?
They're a band.
It's a band.
I vaguely remember them.
Think about it. I mean, the people who are on the U.S. show are Christina Aguilera. Who else?
Oh, The Voice.
The guy who sings that happy song.
Pharrell
was on there. Yeah. Adam Levine.
Yeah. It says Ricky Wilson. Okay. I'll take it, you know.
We believe
Ricky Nelson? Sure.
Take a heat.
Wilson.
Died the plane.
Yeah. Oh.
Sorry. I don't know if you heard.
By population, the world's largest French-speaking city is Paris, France. The second largest French-speaking city is...
I was going to say Montreal, but the Montreal French would probably disagree is what it says with that. Because they think that the people in Montreal don't really speak French.
Mm. Well, they do, and it is number two.
I've been told.
They are number two for driving sure. through there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Where, Montreal?
Yeah.
Why? There's some places.
Oh, because, no, because, like, Nord, Est, and, you know, just... Oh. You know, they don't... North, South, East, West isn't like here, so...
A lot of one-way streets, too.
Yeah, that's a...
Very difficult city.
Yes.
What angle is formed by the hands of a clock at 4 o'clock?
120 degrees.
120 degrees. Very well done. Obtuse. I'll take that too.
I like
what
that.
Did Professor Kagi say? Over four.
Within the ballpark.
Be that as it may, Alex, those people have never been in my kitchen. England's National Rugby Union side play. Oh my gosh, I can't even say those words in this order. England's National Rugby Union team plays their home games at which ground? That took a lot to get through.
Not like Wembley or Manchester.
You might know it if you paid attention to some of the jokes in Harry Potter about the Quidditch teams. But other than that, this is very
You're the Harry Potter expert, not me.
No. Stephanie knows all that stuff. Twickenham is what it says here. You know, totally. They play it. AKA Twickenham.
That was only in like one book.
Oh, okay. Well, I was thinking of the Chudley Cannons. I didn't know if they were related.
I think it's only when they went to like the World Cup that they talked about that.
Okay.
Anyway.
In what year was Margaret Thatcher first elected Prime Minister of the United Kingdom?
79?
79 on the dot. Good. Spot on.
Not too bad for a stupid guess.
Oh. which 1851 novel was first published in Britain with a different title than it was in America? It was called, in Britain, The Whale.
Moby Dick.
Moby Dick is what it says here. Absolutely.
That was a trivia crack question a couple days ago.
Oh, well done.
Thanks.
Oh, are you on trivia? Uh-oh, we got to share notes.
I'm hoping that the biologist can help us with this one because the number I'm seeing here makes absolutely no sense. How many toes does a dog have?
One, isn't it?
How many toes?
No, I mean, there's three. What do they call those?
How many toes?
What do they call those? Digits? Or are they considered toes?
I'm going to go with not 20.
It is definitely not.
One foot?
Well, no, it says total times 12? Four legs. You know, it doesn't say 12.
16.
It says 18. What
four,
am I missing
four,
here?
I think the back feet
have the four.
No, the back feet have the
thumb things.
Claw, right? Or whatever that thing
okay.
is. The hook.
It's not
sure.
a claw or whatever. I don't remember.
18 toes? That's messed up, man.
Hey, it comes in handy for card counting.
Oh. Absolutely, it does. Absolutely, it does. Where is the Sea of Tranquility?
The moon.
It's on the moon. Yes, it is.
That's where we landed.
Very well done, profs. And thank you, Zahid, for sending us those questions. Those
send more. Jason will love you.
You kind of had a little anglophilic streak there, but we still pass, as far as I'm concerned, even the questions we got wrong. Okay. We have some questions here from longtime question sendor, Kimberly Richards.
Hey.
Kimberly has titled her paper, ATP 101, Professor Mayo. It actually says it in the corner. Very well done. In golf... Can you describe what an albatross is and what a condor is?
Albatross is a 2 on a 5.
Par?
A 2 on a 5.
Albatross, it says here, is a double eagle.
Yeah.
3 under par.
3 under par, yeah.
What's
a
condor?
There's no way it's a 4 under par.
Yeah, it's 4 under par.
You cannot get
here.
A 4 under par.
If you get a hole in one, you can.
Yeah.
The only way you can do that is on a par 5, and there's no way you can get a hole in one on a par 5.
I think it's funny that you got all these bird
but
terms.
But they have a name for it, just in case.
I can't believe that's...
How did you do on that hole? I got a condor, also known as a triple eagle, or a double albatross, or 4 under par.
I would love... I'm going to actually Google.
See if anybody's ever gotten...
Because the only way to do that is on a par 5.
They didn't say you had to do it. They just said, what's the name? And this is where to learn about the golf knowledge.
It's certainly the etiquette, if nothing else.
How much did a pack of 20 Camel cigarettes cost when they first were marketed by R.J. Reynolds Tobacco Company in 1913?
50 cents.
45 cents.
No, a dime.
10 cents is what it says.
They were free because they had to start somewhere.
Well, yeah, that's true.
The first was free, kid.
Yeah, first hit's free. That's the way I always learned it. Who wrote the steamy 3,700-page handwritten 18th-century memoir that was purchased for France's National Library for a record $9.6 million in 2010?
Dan Brown?
Oh. No. Absolutely not. No. It was purchased by an anonymous donor on behalf of that library after French officials declared the work a, quote, national treasure, and is not a copy of the DVD of National Treasure.
Oh, what year was it again, man?
2010.
Ooh.
Oh, 6 degrees of...
Shades of gray.
The only word you're operating on here, because it's a very long manuscript, obviously, is steamy. Who would have written an 18th century steamy 3,700
pages
long? Who's
the same? Marc de Sade? Marc de Sade.
No, not de Sade.
What would he say?
Larry Flint.
It's kind of interesting, being that he was an Italian...
Casanova.
Giacomo Girolamo Casanova. Why did Jesus ride a donkey rather than a horse when he entered Jerusalem on the day that Christians commemorate Palm Sunday?
He didn't have an Uber app.
No.
Oh.
I don't think they called it Uber back then. They called it like Burro or something.
Well,
you know?
I'm sitting because next to Matt here.
Donkeys were used by the common people?
You know, that's an obvious
that.
One, but
yeah.
That's not it.
No?
That's not it. No.
It was foretold that it would be that way in the Old Testament.
That's a reasonable guess. Yeah, I'm giving you partial credit for that, too. No, this is actually the direct biblical way. Professor Hibbert were here. He'd be able to walk us through this, right? In his original Jewish text. Why Jesus is known as the Prince of Peace because of this. What do you think it would mean if someone rode into a city on a horse?
Nobility?
Or king?
King, or you're there to do something.
Take it over.
Conquer?
Take over, oh. Conquering. So riding on a donkey side saddle is, I come in peace. Oh. It may be the first occurrence of I come in peace. You know? Take me to your leader. Oh, wait, that's me.
Oh.
How long was William Harrison in office as the 9th president of the United States?
Days. 16 like days?
30 days.
Or something. 30 months. Days. Oh,
30, okay. Shortest tenure in U.S. presidential history. His death sparked a brief constitutional crisis, but its resolution settled many questions about presidential succession left unanswered by the Constitution until the passage of the 25th Amendment in 1967. Wow. He was the grandfather of Benjamin Harrison, elected the 23rd president in 1888. Weird stuff.
Dangling Chads back in the day.
Yep, you got it.
Pneumonia.
Yeah, didn't he get the pneumonia from giving a speech without a coat
from
on?
His inauguration.
Jeez.
See, Dan, if he had your windbreaker, he'd still be here.
Possibly.
How many years did it take the world population to grow from 6 to 7 billion? I nearly gave the years. How many years were in between the 2 years I almost said?
Say 20?
No, it was 20. It was less than 20.
10? 11?
19?
It was 12. Oh. 12 years.
If you'd given me a minute, I would have gotten it.
He's zeroing in, man. He's zeroing in.
Asymptotically approaching. By the way, who keeps those statistics?
Population biologists.
Yes, but they work for something.
World Health Organization.
No, it's not WHO. I thought it was going to be WHO, too.
The Koch brothers.
The EPA?
No, it says it's the UN, actually.
Oh, sure, that makes sense. Yes,
I didn't even think they still existed with all the junk going on in this world right now.
Oh, yeah.
How many aircraft did Federal Express have when it began overnight operations circa 1973?
12?
Zero.
Gosh, 12. You guys are crazy. It's 14.
Oh.
Aircraft. Yep. 2-day shipping options. They took on the marketing slogan, the freight service company with 550 mile per hour delivery trucks.
That's and then 3 silly. Days later, after they earned some money, they went out and purchased a double. They got 24.
Oh, they got
24. 28, right?
Okay.
I mean, surely they can't operate for long, right?
Not with 14 aircraft.
I wonder how long it took them to increase.
From 1973 to now, apparently. FedEx. They're the ones that bought Kinko's, right? Yeah.
Don't remind me.
What's the largest lake in the world?
Lake Victoria?
Lake Victoria.
It's not what it says here.
Then I don't know.
Superior?
It is named a sea.
It's not Superior.
It is named a sea, but it's a lake.
Red Sea.
The Red Sea.
Not the Red
the
Sea.
The Black Sea?
Nope. Mediterranean Sea.
Nope.
Dead Sea?
Nope.
Does it
I believe
start
it
vowel?
Is a landlocked body of water, so Mediterranean
does it
wouldn't count.
Does start with U or A? Aral? Ural?
No.
Those are mountains.
Oh.
Does it start with A or B?
Is it in Eastern Europe?
It's in Europe, Asia, Eurasia.
Black Sea?
No, it's the Caspian Sea.
Oh,
okay,
the
sure.
Romans thought that they were going to find a way to connect to the Mediterranean, but they were very, very wrong. The sea is the largest lake on Earth by volume, 5,521 cubic miles. Jeez. and service area 143,200 square miles, surrounded by Russia, Azerbaijan, Iran, Turkmenistan, and Kazakhstan.
Okay. I have a better question. What's the difference between a sea and a lake?
I think that the sea is connected to the ocean.
Yeah,
yeah, it's
and got a connection.
Are, okay. Yeah, so somewhat I mean, close. We could say the same thing. Why isn't it Sea Erie? I don't know, because Dan grew up in Erie, but it is connected through the St. Lawrence Seaway.
All right.
That much is true.
Let's start calling it Sea Erie, see if it catches on.
I don't think so.
Or Erie Sea.
The Erie Sea.
19th century baseball lingo. Sure, what were cranks, behinds, and strikers?
Bat boys.
Strikers, cranks. Batters?
No, actually, the three different things are three different things.
Oh.
Cranks is a home run?
Nope.
A swing?
Pitcher.
Nope. The guy who yells behind the bench. What's a crank?
What?
These kinds of people are pretty cranky when they're umpires? At a game. Not umpires.
Fans.
Fans. Oh. Cranks are fans. What are behinds?
Umpires?
Catchers.
Catchers. And strikers?
Pitchers.
Batters? I believe you already said batters, so I'm giving you
that. Whoa,
Professor Kagi knows a lot about baseball, so we got to give him that one.
We do?
That probably...
Not so much the 1800s version.
Yeah. If Professor Hillebrand were here, he plays historic baseball. Yeah, I bet he would know what those guys are.
Yep. Yeah, he does.
He's on the la-di-da's.
Very cool.
Yes. The earliest date on which Easter can fall, reckoned by the moon...
March 31st.
...is 22 of March. Oh. 22 of March.
That's so early.
The latest is 25 of April. In what years do those happen next? So when is Easter next, March 22nd? And when is Easter next, April
25th? Oh, boy.
2022.
2017.
I would say add...
See if I can put this in perspective.
When can I bring pork
you add 13?
I will be... 20, for those, most of you know 20, what my current age is.
No, I said 22.
So I will be nearing 60.
I would say 2028.
No. So it says 2038.
2038.
Is the next time Easter will be on March 22nd. The last time...
Really?
Was, let's see, April 25th, 2038. The last time it was so late was 1943. March 22 Easter last occurred in 1818... It will not happen. It won't happen again until 2285.
How do they figure this out?
We better start coloring eggs now.
It's the, using basically the Chinese calendar.
So I just assume that the next year the moon would be. This is the full, based on the full moon that it would be just one day before.
It has to do with counting the days after Christmas based on the moon, right? That's one of the way it's done.
Clearly, I don't have a full understanding.
That is a long time before we're going to be able to have that really early Easter. What popular doll was pictured on a stamp issued by the U.S. Postal Service to commemorate the 1980s and 2000?
Cabbage Patch.
Cabbage Patch, kids. The one-of-a-kind soft sculpture Cabbage Patch dolls sold with names, birth certificates, and adoption papers became such a craze, they were featured on the cover of Newsweek, taken up on the space shuttle, and named the first official mascot of the U.S. Olympic team, weird. The 33-cent stamp was one of 15 commemorating the 80s.
That was very strange.
I don't know. Looking back, those were creep out.
And they're still sold today.
I still have mine.
Do you?
And
my mom does.
What was the name of the doll?
Monty.
Did she put them next to the plate? Oh.
I don't remember the middle name. Monty something. There were several girls. This is another good mom story. She'll never listen to this. That's fine. She got my sister and I little boy once. Monty was the boy. I think I had a girl named Kelly. I don't know. There was like four or five of them.
Autumn just received her first one. And the baby's name is Annalisa Julia.
Nice. Very cute. Oh, I had one named Xavier, too.
Okay. It's a newborn.
Okay.
It's a newborn.
They're
cute. It's just a long name.
Yeah.
And they all are signed on the butt.
Oh, of course. Mm-hmm. Of course, yes. By Xavier Roberts.
And that factory is in Dahlonega, Georgia?
Georgia, yeah. It's up in the North Georgia Mountains. Mm-hmm. We used to go up there when I was in grad school. Not for the Cabbage Patch store, but for other things.
Wow.
Back in my dancing days. Yeah.
Your spring break dancing.
Friday, long week in the lab. You guys want to go to the Cabbage Patch store?
Come on, man.
That's great.
They had a killer happy hour. It's great.
Jacob is always tap dancing or Cabbage Patch.
We're getting some really great rumors about Professor Kagi today. Something about Cabbage Patch.
His dance career before the accident.
Yeah.
Well, so let's go by ratio here. What bird lays the smallest egg in comparison to the mother's size? So the way you want to do this ratio would be about the percentage of the mother's mass.
Falcon.
Swallow.
Eagle.
European or...
It is the obvious...
I don't know.
Oh, emu.
It's the... Well, I'm going to give you emu because the answer is ostrich.
Ostrich. Okay.
If you go at egg versus mass of the bird, it's 1.5%. By contrast, the house wren, who lays one of the smallest eggs, that's 13% of the mass of the mother, is the just
that,
the egg.
Just
you
don't
know?
Get that big.
That's crazy.
Ouch.
Yeah. What fruit gives Earl Grey tea its distinctive flavor and aroma?
Oh, I just drank some the other day.
I know, and you're such
a berry.
Captain
is it a berry?
Card fan. I figured you'd know.
I am. Is it what spice?
No, fruit. It's a fruit.
Fruit orange.
Yeah, it's an orange. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
The bergamot orange. Oil extracted from the rind, blended with black tea, and that makes Earl Grey. It's grown predominantly in Italy. How interesting.
Sure. Oh, how disappointing for Captain Picard.
Because he was a Frenchman, supposedly.
With an English accent.
With an English accent.
With an English accent.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I believe that Professor Kagi's going to sweep in here and help us with this one for sure.
Another dance question.
What Hall of Fame pitcher won two games, one of them the longest time-wise in Major League Baseball history, on my 28th birthday, this is Kimberly talking, May 9th, 1984?
Two games on the same day? Steve Carlton?
Nope.
Was he a Tiger?
Jack Morris?
I believe, let's see, no.
Sandy?
Not too late for Sandy Koufax.
Let's see.
I have no idea what I'm talking about. But I'm just
I think it was White Sox is what it says here, White Sox.
Jim?
Was it one of the Negro brothers?
Nope.
Jenkins?
Nope. Initials T.S.?
Taylor Swift.
Tom Seaver?
Tom Seaver, yeah, it was
White
Tom
Sox.
Seaver.
Oh, wow. He's still pitching
Mike
in the
80s.
Seaver,
wow. No, not Mike.
Mike Seaver.
He got his first win 7-6 as the seventh and final relief pitcher for the Chicago White Sox in the 25th inning of an 8-hour, 6-minute game against the Brewers, which was played over 2 days.
Oh, my God.
He then went on to start and win the second day's regular game, pitching 8 1/3.
Wow.
They don't make him like that anymore.
His arm must be
Verlander's got a hangnail. Take him out. I'm sorry, I can't get over it. I've been following the Tigers throughout all the spring training, and I guess Kate Upton showed up yesterday with like
puppies.
A bunch of adoption dogs, and they like stopped the game, and everybody stopped and took pictures. I'm like, is this real baseball?
It's as real as Will Ferrell playing.
Well, yes,
you know,
Will Ferrell playing for the Cubs.
Hey, that was for $1 million for research.
It's
I
true.
Think that was worthy.
What research, by the way?
Cancer.
Cancer, okay, oh, makes sense. So he was standing up to left field to stand up to cancer or whatever?
Yes.
I was waiting for, he's playing for cowbells or something like
right,
that.
Right, exactly. In my last set of questions, Kimberly says, I asked which U.S. president made Father's Day an official holiday in the United States. Which one did it for Mother's Day? Many individual states had celebrated Mother's Day by 1911, but it wasn't until blank lobbied Congress in 1914 that it was officially set as the second Sunday of May.
That'd be cool.
Nope.
Cool.
Oh,
it wasn't
no. W.W.
Cool. Woodrow Wilson.
Yeah,
in his first Mother's Day proclamation, Wilson stated the holiday offered a chance to, quote, publicly express our love and reverence for the mothers of our country.
They'll
unquote.
Take cash.
Yes. And help Hallmark out in any way we can. It's time to say goodbye, I'm afraid. Professor Chow.
See you.
Professor Maggio.
Goodbye.
Professor Evans.
Bye-bye.
Professor Kagi.
Goodbye.
Professor Conant.
Have a good weekend.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu, tweet to us on Twitter at Ask the Professor, or using the hashtag AskTheProfessorUDM, or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is transcribed at the facilities of the Briggs Building in the Department of Communication Studies in the College of Liberal Arts and Education at the University of Detroit Mercy's McNichols campus. Ask the Professor is produced and directed by Michael Jason, and our executive producer is Dr. Vivian Dix. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mayo.